Hello again, and welcome to the second edition of our Hot Sheet podcast, which we started last week in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm Josh Norris, and
This is Jeff Ponce from Worcester, Massachusetts.
And we have a name for this podcast. It could be the Hot Sheet podcast, but since I go by the bear and he goes by the parrot, it could be Bear and Parrot podcast. And nobody really knows that parrot nickname outside of our Slack, but I've suggested Grin and Parrot. A wing and a bear, but either way, it's two filthy animals podcasting at 10:30 in the morning about Hot Sheet. Well, this week's Hot Sheet is led by a guy who is neither a bear nor a parrot, but really a man among boys, and that's Davison De Los Santos with the Low A Visalia affiliate of the Diamondbacks. And that man's built to crush, and crush he did this week what did his stats look like this week, baby? 577, 607, 885, if you're into that sort of thing. He's a triple, two bombs, six RBIs, two walks, five punch outs, and as the write-up notes, he turned 19, so it's his birthday, and he'll mash if he want to. Shout out Leslie Gore. Nobody's going to get that because I'm secretly 37 going on 87. So there you have it, folks. Leslie Gore reference on a freewheeling Hot Sheet podcast. What do you like about Davison De Los Santos, Jeff?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, the massive power that De Los Santos possesses. There's always going to be some hit tool questions just sort of based on, you know, the sort of player that De Los Santos is. But I think you sort of take that trade-off when you consider, you know, how explosive he can be when he's on. You know, in particular against right-handed pitching, you know, he does a lot of damage. It's where a lot of the power comes from. But, you know, that being said, you know, across the board, just even this season in general, he's hit for, you know, a fair amount of average, regardless of sort of being aggressive in terms of swinging and expanding outside of the zone. There's certainly some zone miss, but it's not too bad. And he's, you know, about a 67-68% contact guy, so he's about fringe, you know, below average contact. But, you know, when you're a guy that is 19 years old and, you know, you have max exit velocity numbers that, you know, are online with major league sluggers, that's something to get excited about. You know, just kind of looking at the data here, he's somebody that averages 90.5 miles per hour in terms of his average exit velocity. His 90th percentile, so between 106 pushing 107, and he's hit a ball 114 this year as well. So I think when you put that into you know, into context, it's just, this is a 19-year-old with plus power and, you know, could develop into one of the better power hitters in the game. And I think the scary thing is he's a pretty flat attack angle, launch angle guy. You know, his average launch angles, Josh, are like 1 to 2 degrees. So he's not even necessarily selling out in terms of his bat path for power. He's just got that natural thump in the barrel. So I think there's a lot to be excited about him. And, you know, I know the California League still has some hitting parks, but it's not like it was years ago. I know this is one of Kyle Glazer, our teammates' favorite things to say. You know, it's not like it was years ago when you had Lancaster, when you had High Desert. Some of those parks have now been eliminated. So it's not, you know, the numbers aren't necessarily as gaudy as they had been years ago and less trustworthy in the California League. So De Los Santos guy, definitely arrow up for me.
For sure. You know, I haven't had a whole lot of experience with Davison myself, seeing as he's on, you know, the West Coast in Glazer territory. Although I did catch him on the final day of spring training this year, or at least my spring training. And yeah. To say that young man is powerful is, I mean, you just said it, is an understatement. He hit a home run for me with my slow-mo cam that I missed the first swing, and I thought, oh, I was running from the other field back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. What a bad moment to miss. Oh, yeah, it's another one, probably next at bat or at least a couple of at bats later that was even farther, like 400 something oppo. You know what? If it weren't for the only reason I would have preferred the other swing is because the lighting issue was a little weird at that time. But other than that, thank you for that wonderful swing, Mr. De Los Santos, to close my spring training trip. So he shined in late March. He's shining in late June. The good prospect. And if you're a person in Hillsboro, Oregon, maybe look out for him later in the year. Join the hops for the second half playoff run. Now, to be clear, I'm not announcing a promotion or anything, just, you know, natural progression of things. Don't get too excited up there in the Pacific Northwest. Number two on the list is not a hitter, but actually the opposite of that, a pitcher. His name is Kyle Harrison, and he had himself a week with the Richmond Flying Squirrels on the verge of their first playoff appearance since 2014. He took the ball for the second time of the week and struck out 11 guys over 7 two-run innings, which is pretty good, I think. I mean, I'm not the big analytics guy like you, but I think that's good. What I did notice is it's kind of amazing. He struck out 11 guys and got 9 swinging strikes all day. So he got a lot of foul balls and a lot of called third strikes. I just went back and looked at the game day. I was like, all right, there must be a ton of these. Not so much, but you know, I love Kyle Harrison for the numbers that I have access to. You love Kyle Harrison for the numbers you have access to. And the Giants love Kyle Harrison for the combination of all of them. So what do you see in the data, Jeff, about Mr. Kyle, 20 years old, leading the minor league in strikeouts, 38.6% strikeout rate over his career, Harrison?
Yeah, and it's funny. I had gotten into it a little bit with one of my friends, Nate Hardy, from Pitcher List, actually, over Harrison. And he comes out this week, and he makes me look really smart with a great performance over a couple of starts here. But, you know, I think the thing that I really like about Kyle Harrison, it's one of the characteristics with pitchers, and especially as we're getting into the analytics and the numbers, that I gravitate toward. And that's guys that have lower release heights, flatter approach angles on their fastballs. And when they have an interesting movement type that isn't just sort of what we typically associate with that profile, which is more of an efficient four-seam fastball, we throw a little bit lower. A couple of guys that are good examples of lower launch are Jacob DeGrom, Gerrit Cole. Harrison, obviously, if you've seen him throw a baseball, he's left-handed, number one. But just in terms of how the ball comes out of his hands, he's in lower slot. He's very unique in terms of the orientation of the ball when it comes out. So the fact that he's able to create sort of efficiency at that release point, get that flat approach angle. I mean, he is right in line with DeGrom and Cole in terms of that really outlier sort of vertical approach angle. It's the reason he's got a 40% whiff rate on his fastball. That is ungodly. Really anything above 30%, even high 20s on a four-seamer, because you got to figure you're throwing it so much more than your secondaries. When you have that sort of a swing and miss rate on your fastball, that's significant. And he pairs it with a really good slider that I think is only going to get better as he throws it harder and adds sort of those man muscles over the coming years. And he's got a pretty good changeup as well that gets results. So it's a good three-pitch mix. I think he really knows who he is. And because of the quality of that fastball and his ability to throw enough strikes with a slider and changeup and also get guys to expand the zone, I think it's a really, really interesting profile. And the funny thing is, when you look at him, I think that as a pitcher, the pitchability side of things, Harrison's still going to grow and develop over the coming years. And that's kind of a scary development if he continues to keep this level of stuff, keeps the health and maintains all that, those things that, you know, are always a concern with any pitching prospect. But Harrison to me is, you know, probably one of my five favorite pitching prospects that's out there right now.
I'd have to concur with that assessment. I mean, I'd put him Let's see, five favorite pitching prospects. I'm not going to name them all right now because this is supposed to be a quick podcast.
Yuri one, Yuri two, Yuri three, Yuri four, Kyle Harrison five.
No, I mean, it is a Dylan sort of situation.
Exactly.
But you know, it's I think I made this, I don't know if I had noticed this on last podcast, but or somewhere in Slack, but like usually since I travel around a lot or in previous years I do, I've seen usually all my prospect crushes, but I've never seen Kyle Harrison. I had planned to this week, but thank you, Ford Motor Company. And I've never seen Yuri Perez. You have, you lucky, lucky parrot. And there's other guys out there I haven't seen that I really want to see, but you know, Kyle Harrison and Yuri Perez are at the top of my list. Daniel Espino, who I'd planned to see before. Poorly for him. Waldichuk would be a guy I have never seen before, would like to see at least once. I know you've seen him before. So you are living my dreams, sir. You're living my dreams. And I think that's
rude. I don't get Churio, though.
You don't get Churio, but someday you will. And I bet you you have a pretty good chance of seeing him in a couple weeks. But anyway, right now what we have to do is take an ad break. So we are going to pause right here before we get back into the podcast right now.
While you've been listening to this podcast so far, dozens and dozens of companies have filled jobs by using Indeed. Yep, Indeed's data shows there are roughly 16 hires a minute on Indeed. That's more than one every 4 seconds. While you've been listening to me talk about Indeed, another 3 hires have been made. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed is a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed data in the U.S. We at Baseball America are one of those companies that have used Indeed. Why? Because Indeed does make it easy to start hiring. It takes 10 minutes or less for most small business employers to post a job. Indeed does the hard work for you. When you pay to post a job, Instant Match shows you candidates whose resumes fit your description immediately so you can hire faster. With Indeed, you can select the skills that matter most to you. Add from a selection of over 100 Indeed assessment tests to your job post and hone in on the candidates who have the right skills faster. Indeed has such great talent. In fact, 3 out of 4 U.S. online job seekers search for jobs on Indeed each month, according to ComScore. Even better, Indeed's the only job site where you only pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements. Indeed is an incredibly powerful hiring partner, delivering 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest in 2019. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/baseballamerica. Go to Indeed.com/baseballamerica and you can claim your $75 credit. Offers good for only a limited time. That's Indeed.com/baseballamerica. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life isn't always easy. If you're listening to this, you've probably discovered that yourself. If you've lived through the pandemic like we all have, you probably know this. And when life gets difficult, when you need to make sense of everything, it helps to talk to someone. BetterHelp online therapy will assess your needs and can match you with your own licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours. There are times when the act of verbalizing what you're going through can be profound. It allows you to see what you're dealing with from a different angle sometimes. And having a professional therapist there to guide you along the way can make a huge difference. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online, available to people worldwide. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. And getting therapy every week is as easy as a few clicks on your laptop or phone. With therapy, it can take a few tries to find the right fit for you. BetterHelp makes it easy and free to change therapist if needed. And there are so many people that have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. They have a special offer for our Baseball America listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/BaseballAmerica. That's 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com MLB.com/baseballamerica.
And we're back. We're moving further down the hot sheet, and we're going to talk about another one of my favorite podcasts. Another one of my favorite prospects. We're just going to plow on through. I'm not perfect. Jeff's not perfect. And sometimes we blend podcast and prospect into a word. Welcome back to the podcast. We're talking about Evan Carter with the Hickory Crawdads, the Texas Rangers. You know, we put him on the hot sheet a couple weeks ago, and then as almost fate would have it, he went in the tank immediately. And I felt real bad about it. I said, oh, this is bad. Everybody, I've been talking him up. And you do a little digging around because we've got midseason updates coming out soon. And you find out right around that time, he fouled a ball off his foot. And when he did that, he got into some bad habits in the box. And those unsurprisingly affected his hitting. So it took him a while to come out of that. But now that he has and the foot's feeling better, he's hitting again. And he's showing that insane combination of plate discipline, strike zone knowledge, a little sprinkling of power here and there, speed. The center field defense doesn't really show up in the batting line, but it's there, darn it. I mean, this week, you know, it was more walks and strikeouts. He's close to that. I think it's 42 strikeouts, 35 walks career or something like that. I know I looked this up last night. But he's a really tantalizing prospect. And the top of the Ranger system is pretty strong. There are some in the organization who would argue for Carter over everyone. That's, you know, Leiter. That's Duran, technically, because he got sent back down. That's Dustin Harris. Guys like that, he is in some eyes above all of them. And, you know, it's really stunning to think that this guy was such an under-the-radar draft prospect a couple of years ago. He's still 19 years old, one of the youngest players at his level. I had some stat yesterday that I will, you know, that I will look up for just a second here that while we're talking, if I can fumble for my way through a Twitter search here to see what I wrote. Give me a second here. I wrote that, fumbling. There are 11 teenagers in the minor leagues with 200 or more plate appearances this year and a swinging strike rate below 10%. The only one above low A is Evan Carter. So I, again, am not super analytical, man. I don't have access to a lot of data, but I think those things are good. Tell me why I'm right, yes. Jeff.
Well, being that young and being able to make that level of contact consistently and not swing and miss is always a pretty good thing. Yeah, I mean, there's not much that you could knock there. I think the other thing with Carter, too, is just that the pitch recognition is absurd. That's sort of where he stands out to me. And it's really since the moment he stepped into pro ball. There's an element of sort of, you know, is he too passive? And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, he's not somebody that swings a lot. But when you look at the fact that, you know, he's somebody that's making contact at a plus rate around 80%, just sort of a threshold that I look for. His chase rate is below 20%. You know, he's a nearly 90% zone contact guy. So when he swings at pitches in the zone, 9 out of 10 times, he's going to make contact with that pitch. You know, when we talk about baseline approach, baseline contact, he has that in spades. And I think he has the ability to elevate as well. You know, he's had max velocities that are up to like 109, 110. When you consider how young he is, the fact that he's 6'4", but, you know, sub 200 pounds. So this is my favorite term apparently, but there's going to be some more strength he's going to put on there.
Man muscles.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for those.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that when you sort of look at that player, the culmination of all those things, the fact that he's got defensive value as well, can play all three outfield positions. You know, I think that's a player that's going to be an everyday regular. And it's funny, just kind of going a quick aside here, when you have a guy that can play center field, right field, left field, it makes it a lot easier to get that guy up to the majors and in the lineup to fill a spot. you know, I think that's sometimes an underrated thing with prospects. It's like, how versatile are they defensively? Can they, because we see it a lot. We see guys that maybe are third baseman that end up coming up and seeing a majority of their time in the big leagues, at least at the early point of their careers, at different positions, second base. A guy is a center fielder and ends up playing left field or right field or whatever. So, you know, I think the fact that he is that versatile and has the kind of skill set where he's athletic, he moves well, sees pitches well, he's good in the outfield. He's a guy that can fit into a lot of different roles. I think there's a lot of pathways for success at the big league level. So I'm in on Carter. I think he's a guy that's going to continue to climb month after month, year after year here up until his major league debut.
And now I'm going to serve one up to you on a platter, because you are, as Matt Eddy calls, the pitching whisperer. We saw that on the Kyle Harrison. It's literal. You do walk up to a lot of pitchers and whisper sweet something in their ear. Yes. You can save 10% on your car insurance by switching to whatever. I'm going to serve you Griff McGarry on a platter. He is your kind of guy, exactly. And we had a
platter.
Very, very faux argument about the best rotation in the minors, whether it's a Vancouver with some of your boys, Ricky Tiedemann, Sam Roberti, Yosver Zulueta, Trent Palmer, I think, is still there, and Jersey Shore.
No, Trent's in New Hampshire. He's been there for about a month now.
My apologies, Trent. Enjoy Manchester.
Yes. He's a Fisher Cat.
Fisher Cat.
No longer Canadian.
Did you know Fisher Cats and fishing cats are different animals? Wild. Anyway.
Yes, we have Fisher Cats in my town, actually.
There was another animal called the fishing cat? There's two of them.
That sounds like an SNL skit from the 80s.
we just ran out of names for animals. Oh, what does this one do? It fishes. Oh, the Fisher Cat. Well, that one fishes too. That's a fishing cat. It's present tense. We were talking about the best rotations in the minor leagues. Jersey Shore was in that mix with Griff McGarry and Mick Abel and Ben Brown and Andrew Painter. And we talked about Vancouver, and you stuck up for Akron with Logan Brown. Yes. And when he's healthy, Daniel Logan Espino, out. Gavin Williams, Hunter Gaddis, Joey Cantillo, guys like that. It was a very spirited faux argument that no one's feelings got hurt. But anyway, all this to say, Griff McGarry is on the hot sheet. Tell us why he's good.
Yeah, McGarry is another guy that has low launch and a flat vertical approach angle, very similar to Kyle Harrison on the fastball. They're both guys that have good fastballs. I like players that have good fastballs because it's so much easier when a guy has a good fastball to play everything off of that. You don't have to hide it so much, which we're seeing more and more of, because guys are such good fastball hitters in the minors. As you move up to the major leagues, of course, they only get better at that skill. So if you have a good one, you can actually use it. I think it's really important. McGarry is a guy that struggled to find consistency at UVA. He's always shown flashes. There's still some consistency issues here. I felt like recently, particularly over the last few weeks, he's really found more consistency. We're seeing the nasty Griff McGarry. He's a guy that's got an even flatter approach angle. He's a complete outlier in terms of that metric. He's flatter than Cole. He's flatter than DeGrom. He's flatter than Kyle Harrison that we talked about earlier. He's another guy that gets a lot of ride in his fastball. He's lower release. He's also a guy that gets a ton of spin and gets a lot of movement, which is rare, getting that velocity, the flat approach, the high spin, and the spin that contributes to actual movement. He's sort of a rarity in that sense. He sits 95 in the fastball. He throws a lot of fastballs too. He'll ramp it up to 98, 99, could touch 100. I don't think he actually technically has touched 100 this year, but he's close. His slider is his primary secondary. He gets a lot of swings and misses on that. The issue more for me here is the strike rate on the secondaries. He starts to more consistently land his secondaries, particularly his slider and his changeup. I think it's going to take him to another level. He's been doing that a little bit more lately, but he's a guy that throws a lot of pitches too. He has legitimately a cutter, a sweeper slider that gets, you know, over a foot of horizontal break. He has a curveball that has a lot of horizontal break, just but has more depth than the slider. So they are different pitches. And then he's got a changeup that, you know, he kills a lot of lift on. I've talked about that in the offseason. I think when you look at an ideal sort of pitch shape mix, just from a shape perspective, velocity perspective, McGarry might have one of my favorite pitch mixes in the minors. So if he's able to tighten up and throw just enough strikes, he's got the kind of stuff that, you know, if it all sort of congeals and, you know, I always kind of use the analogy of a cake that, you know, if it all fully bakes, you know, this guy could be cake boss. I mean, this could be one of the best arms in the minors. He's in Jersey too, so the cake boss thing works.
I mean, I don't know nothing about no cake bosses, but I will take your word. And yes, he is in New Jersey. We can verify that. So you've talked about Griff McGarry. I've talked about Evan Carter. Let's see, anybody else on the old sheet of heat that we want to talk about? Oh, I mentioned Oscar Colas. He's had a bit of a an up-down season with high A Winston-Salem. You know, he had a really good first month, not so good second month that included an injury. And this year, this month, June, he's been nails. And as I really wanted to note there that just going through the video yesterday, just to kind of clear out some of my hard drives or video cards, I took a look at a swing of his from the first series, and a swing of his from the most recent series. And you can see just really clearly that, even if you didn't slow it down, that he's made a change. In the first series, he had a big exaggerated leg kick, and now he's kind of got this pivot toe tap thing going on with his front foot. And I don't know if it's a one-to-one, this is why he's succeeding again, or if he's just healthy again sort of scenario, but it seems to have made a difference. And, you know, he got on there this week. I assume at 23 years old, he's probably getting ready to move on up to Double A. Now, again, people are bringing him. I am not announcing a promotion. I am just suggesting what might be coming. Let's see who else we got here. Alec Burles. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. No, go right ahead on Alec
Burleson. I was going to say Alec Burleson crushed this week, as he's been doing all year long, and earned himself the number 100 spot on our top 100. As you are reading this. So, you know, he filled in at number 9, and Jeff had one more guy he wanted to mention.
Yeah, right next to him at 10. And this is a guy that I've seen a lot over the last couple of years, and I think he's a fascinating player for a variety of reasons. But Samad Taylor from the Blue Jays had a big week this week, went 8-for-22 at 6 runs, 4 home runs. And I think the thing that I'm always most sort of impressed by with Samad is the bat speed. There's just a ton of sort of explosiveness in a really small frame. If you've seen him, I mean, maybe he's 5'10", 5'11", in terms of height, but he's pretty small in terms of stature. He's not really a broad guy at all. Strong, twitchy, all those sort of things. But he was left off the 40-man roster this offseason after having a really good season with Double A New Hampshire. I felt like he homered every time I saw him. I saw him earlier this year with Buffalo when they were in town in Worcester for a series, and same deal. I saw him homer in one of the games and play, you know, and just have a couple of explosive showings. But I find him interesting because he's not on the 40-man roster, but he's made some significant changes, and I mentioned it here too. You know, he's really sort of cut down on the swing and miss, the contact rate, the chase rate, the end zone whiff is up. The power is down a little bit, but I mean, he's still slugging 444 as somebody that, you know, is a plus base runner. He's got 23 steals this year. I think he's got about 9 homers. So there's some power and speed there. He's played second base. He's played left field. He's not a great defensive player despite the athleticism and the twitch. I do think this is a guy, probably not with the Blue Jays or a competitive team. I think this is somebody that maybe ends up with like a second division team. We talk about a second division regular. I think he could be a really exciting second division regular that gets a full time gig with one of these teams, whether it's, you know, the Nationals, the Athletics. Don't want to keep on calling out these teams, but you know who I mean. If there's opportunity there and a trade to be made coming up to the deadline, Taylor seems like a guy that should be included, and I honestly think he could step in day one and contribute to a major league team, play a few different positions, hit some homers, steal some bases, maybe get some of the fantasy fans out there excited. Could be a guy in your deeper leagues if he's out there, maybe worth adding. I find Samad to be really interesting because the opinions from scouts and evaluators are really sort of all over the place in terms of what they think he is. But I think at this point with what he's done in AAA, it's hard to deny that he deserves a shot at some major league service time. I think he's a big league player.
Well, that is a perfect way to segue into the end of this podcast. You mentioned the trade deadline. That's 33 days away. We are working on putting out our midseason lists coming up next week, I believe. So we're efforting on those. And besides the pro stuff, we are we got big, but the College World Series just finished up. The PDP League is in carry. The College National Team is also in carry. A lot of stuff's rolling on, so there could be a lot of updates. Yes, Cape Cod League, Jeff points to his hat, which is not in carry. It should be the Kerry Cod League. His face, you can't see it because it's a podcast. Visual jokes on a podcast. Just got stirred. He looked like he'd seen a ghost with a knife. It was bad. Now he's wagging his finger at me for some reason. But in any case, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of content that's going to be going up. I know Jeff is going to be caping it up for a while with the occasional pro game mixed in as he sees fit. I am going to do whatever my motor coach allows me to do. Again, don't put a clutch in an automatic. Don't do it. It's a bad idea. It's like putting hands on a digital watch. Don't do it. But anyway, that's the end of the second Hot Sheet podcast. Grin and Parrot, Wing and a Bear, whatever you want to call it. We shouldn't call it either of those two things because, you know, there's going to be days where I'm not in the mix and it's just going to be two humans or something podcasting about baseball. Boring. Anyway, I've had a lot of caffeine already. For Jeff Pontus, for Jeff in Worcester. Wherever you were, Worcester, the home of the Woo Sox, and Paws and Sox are back. For Jeff, I'm Josh saying thank you for listening and keep it locked to Baseball America for all of our sense and our nonsense. Thank you.